Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back with you. For those of you who don't know, I see some new faces since I was last here. My name is Neil Maddock, and I usually am part of Riverside Family Church that meet in Northam in Southampton. But from time to time, I get the pleasure and the privilege of coming and joining a new good folk here at Duncan Road. And so it's great to be here with you on this beautiful spring Sunday morning, and long may it last. Although if you read the forecasts, I think it may change next week, I've been told. But let's just enjoy today, first of all. Let's not worry about that. So we're going to spend time worshiping God together, hearing from his word. I've got a message that I'm going to share, which is part of the series that you've been looking at in the book of Acts. And there's some membership news as well, which is exciting, which David's going to come and share a bit later on. But a warm welcome to all of you here, and a warm welcome to those of you tuning in online or watching this at a later time. It's great to have you involved with us as well. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our first song together. So let's pray and invite God's presence and power, which is what we're going to be looking at a bit later today, to really be here with us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your promise that wherever two or three gather, you are there in the midst of us. And Lord, we claim that promise this morning here, and we know that you are with us because you promised to never leave us. And so as we gather in your presence to bring our worship and our praise, Lord, to listen to your voice, to be changed by you, Father, we pray that we would meet with you and encounter you this day. And as we do, Father, that we would be changed by that experience. So, Father, come. Just as we enjoy the light of the sun outside, I pray the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, would shine into our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and lead us in our first song, which I assume is going to be on the screen. I've got a number next to it. So if you are following a book or you just like to know, it's number 631. And it's going to be Tell Out My Soul.
Shall we stand?
Let's just take a moment again just to come before God, to thank him for all that he has done for us, but also to bring our prayers to him today for the things that we see around us that we know need his power to come through. As we think about the continuing situation in the Ukraine, let's pray for those people. Let's pray for peace. And as we think of our own nation still living with COVID, whatever that looks like and means, but as we adapt to that and this new way of living, let's be praying for our leaders. And then let's be praying for our own family here, family and friends, people that we know that need something of God's power in their lives at the moment. So let's bring these things before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the confidence that we have, that when we come to you in prayer, we know you hear. And when we know you hear, we know that you will answer. And so today, we bring before you situations, some of which are thousands of miles away from us, but still affect us. And some of the things that are really close to home. Father, we pray for the situation in the Ukraine. And it can be kind of hard to know exactly what to pray. But God, we want to pray for peace to come quick. That the conversations that are happening, the negotiations that will take place, will lead to an end to this warfare. Father, we pray for the people of the Ukraine, the innocent people that get caught up in this, whose lives are being transformed and damaged and lost in many cases. Father, draw near to them, Lord. I thank you for the reports that we see and hear of how the church in the Ukraine are being able to respond and support people. And God, we pray that through this tragedy, your name will be lifted up as people turn to you for their hope and for their help. And Father, closer to home, we pray for our own nation. We pray for our leaders. Lord, we thank you for our Queen. And as she celebrates this year, her Platinum Jubilee, God, thank you for her faithful service over these past 70 years. Lord, just bless her, I pray. Be with her. Strengthen her. Father, we pray for those making decisions about our nation, God. We pray for godly voices to be in those conversations, for godly wisdom to find its way into those corridors of power. And Father, we pray for all of us as we still learn to live and adapt to life with COVID and what that looks like. Father, we pray for those even this morning that are suffering with it, those that maybe we know, part of the church family here. Draw near to them. And Father, as church, as a group of people, help us to see how we can care for people and support and serve other people in our local communities through this time. And Father, we pray also for ourselves. We bring before you the things that are on our hearts and on our minds. We come to lay them down. You tell us to cast our worries onto you because you care for us. And so in these moments, we bring before you our worries, our concerns. Concerns about health. Concerns about finance. Concerns about changes that we face. Lord, we lay them before you now in the stillness of your presence. And we do this with the confidence that when we talk to you, you hear us. And when you hear us, you answer. Thank you, Lord, that we can lift these things before you, knowing that you have heard and you will act. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 19. And like I said, it's part of a series that you've been working through. And we're going to read that together this morning, verses 1 to 20. And so if we can have that up on the screen. I'm going to read from the screen as well because I usually read a New Living Translation, and which is probably slightly different. So let's read this together. Acts 19, 1 to 20. It says that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Well, then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, and that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue, and he spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And they would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" And then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together, and he burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. And in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Amen. Exciting stuff, which we're going to be looking at a little bit later on today. But like I said at the beginning, there is some membership news, so I'm going to hand over to David, who's going to come and walk us through that.
I know it's March, but I think it's summer, so I've got my shorts on today. I'm going to invite Dan and Jenny and Nikki to come up here, please, and stand next to me, because we've got some good news. We've talked a lot about membership over the last 6 months, a year, something like that, trying to explain sort of what it is, but also what it isn't as well. So you've heard about membership quite a lot. But in summary, membership of a church is not a biblical command. You will find it nowhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament. What it is, though, it's a practical way of doing church and many of the things that the Bible talks about. And fundamentally, it's two things in my mind. It is about us as a church committing to people like Dan and Jenny and Nikki to pray for them, to support them, and to stand alongside them and serve alongside them as a local church. And it's about them committing the same to us. So that's what we're doing here today. But before I pray for them and we commit ourselves to them, I'm just going to ask Dan one question. I did ask the ladies, and they said, "Absolutely not, I am talking up the front." I said, "That is okay." But Dan, I voluntold him, if I can just give you that mic. Dan, can you just tell us a little bit about sort of what's brought you to the UK, and also what's brought you to Duncan Road Church?
I suppose we feel a bit like the Israelites waiting at the Jordan, you know, been wandering around the wilderness of South Africa for well, in our case, 70 years. But we sent our scouts out ahead of us, and there were some that came back with very positive reports. And so you might have seen us over a few years visiting Stuart and Dawn and other family further north. But when the whole family moved to South Africa, to the UK, we felt that we should come and join them, and immediately started looking around for a spiritual home. But the reports of this place were very positive. There were giants, probably spiritual giants, so we felt very comfortable and looked forward to being able to serve in a more structured and organized way. You won't see us up front or singing or playing the piano because our skills lie elsewhere, but hopefully they can be used.
Fantastic, thank you very much. Can I invite you all to stand, actually, as we pray? And I'm just going to pray for Dan and Jenny and Nikki. And I want you to, as you say amen at the end, that is you agreeing and committing to them as they commit to us. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in your sovereignty, you have brought Dan and Jenny and Nikki all the way from South Africa to our little church in Duncan Road. Father, thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for bringing them into our spiritual family. And Lord, we pray for them that over the coming months and years that they would grow in their knowledge and experience of you. Lord, they would grow as disciples, followers of Jesus. Father, we pray and we commit ourselves as their brothers and sisters in this local church to support them and encourage them and to pray for them as they grow as disciples. And Lord, I pray for Dan and Nikki and Jenny that they would be able to serve here at Duncan Road Church. Help them to find ways in which they can serve alongside us. So as a church, we can pull in the same direction to give you the glory and to build up your church. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause.
Exciting stuff. That leads nicely on to me making a slight apology and an excuse. Like I said, I'm a member of Riverside Family Church down in Northam, and we actually have a members' meeting after our morning service there today. So I'm actually having to sort of head off reasonably quickly after we finish here this morning to get back for that. Some news is being shared, and I need to be there for that. So I'm not being rude. Honestly, I will stop for a few moments to say hello. But yeah, if you see me dashing, it's not because I'm desperate to get out. It's because I do have a genuine reason. Thank you. I just thought I'd put that out there. But I want to talk particularly to the younger members of the church this morning and the kid spot. And we're talking today about power. And hopefully that's what you're going to be talking about in your junior church, your Sunday school as well. And we're looking at God's extraordinary power. That's what the grown-ups are going to be talking about in here. And when I think about power at the moment, I don't know, do we have any like comic book fans, people that like superheroes, things like that? Yeah, like Marvel or DC or all of these kind of cool things, no? If you like these sort of characters, then you'll know people like Superman or Spider-Man or Batman, you know, all of these amazing super strong heroes, we call them, don't we? Superheroes. And you may have a favorite. Grown-ups, you probably have a favorite as well, don't you? We all do, really. I've always been a Superman fan myself. But so we have these people that we kind of look up to, and they're powerful, and they have different kinds of powers. So we're going to look at some of these people today. And they've got the power. And by the end of this, I'm going to suggest that you also have the power. Okay, so let's look at some of these people. Here's my favorite, Superman. Okay, he is epic. I mean, just look at him. Muscles, yeah. Okay, he is super strong. He can fly, obviously, we know that, don't we? He just goes, and he's off with his cape in the wind, that kind of thing, okay? And he has laser eyes. I don't know if you've ever seen Superman films or television programs or comics. He can, like, shoot lasers out of his eyes and go, like, like that. It's amazing. And he can see through things. It's so good. I'd love to do that. Not really like, zzz, you know, that would be weird. But so we have Superman, okay? And those are some of his powers that he has. Then we've got Batman. Again, you know, he goes to the gym, doesn't he? He works out. We can see that. And Batman is super strong, but he has this utility belt, a belt that's got all of these little gadgets in it. And he pulls things out of his belt and shoots things out of his belt. And the thing about Batman as well is that he has cool vehicles. Okay, he's got the Batmobile. He's got the Batplane. He's got a Batboat. He's got like a Bat everything. He's got all these really cool, amazing bits of equipment. So Batman's cool. Oh, Captain America, the ultimate hero. Okay, and he's super strong. He's a super soldier. And he was created to be strong like this in that particular way. And of course, he has his shield. I don't know if you've ever seen any Captain America stuff, but he can throw his shield, and it does all sorts of damage, and then it comes back to him like that. It's like a magnet to his arm. Captain America, the ultimate hero. And then Thor, with his hammer, the hammer of Thor, and he swings it around, and he throws it, and then again, it comes back to him, and he catches it, and nobody else can pick his hammer up. Whenever he puts it down, other people come. They're like, yeah, we can do this. And they can't pick it up. And then he comes along. And he's just like, oh, hello. Because he's like super strong. And Thor seems to be invincible. Does anybody know what invincible means? Yes. Indestructible. Perfect word. Nothing can hurt him. And if you've seen any of the films about Thor, all sorts of stuff happens to him. And he just gets back up. He's like, yeah, me tough. So that's Thor. Oh, and of course, Spidey. Da, 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 da. Spider-Man, he swings through webs. He can climb up walls. He's amazing. And there's this great quote from the Spider-Man films. It says, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think it's his uncle that says that to him. With great power comes great responsibility. So all of these people are like superhumans, and they have all of these amazing powers, and then there's us. And did you know that you have superpowers? You have access to God's power because he's put it in each and every one of us. So if we take a look at us, there we are. That's us in the middle, the superhero, okay? And we might not be able to shoot lasers out of our eyes, because that's just all make-believe and not real. But God can give us vision for the future. God can help us to see things that haven't happened yet, and then to live and act and make those things become a reality. We can't fly, but the Bible tells us that if we trust in God, we can soar on wings like eagles. And we can achieve great things. A utility belt, just like Batman, God has given us everything we need to serve him. That's what the Bible says, that God equips us with everything we need to do good works. So when we need something over here, God gives it to us. When we need something over here, God gives us that. God equips us, and we have a shield. You know, the Bible talks in Psalms a lot about God is our shield and our protection, and he cares for us. And are we invincible? Well, the Bible tells us that we are victorious, that we are more than conquerors. That doesn't mean we won't get hurt. We will get hurt. Things will happen to us. But if we trust God, we can get back up and be stronger and keep fighting the fight that God wants us to fight. And our super strength, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So as you trust God, and as God gives you joy, that can help you to be strong. But this is real. All those other characters, those superheroes, they're make-believe. Somebody thought them up and made them up. But you and me, we're real. And God is real, and his power is real. So all of this can be real for each and every one of us if we choose to believe and live that way. But like Spider-Man said, or like somebody said to Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And the reason we're given these powers is not just to go around being like cool and powerful and yeah. It's to tell people about God. Because in the book of Acts that we're looking at the moment, some of the last words that Jesus said to people before he went to be with God in heaven was that I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will have power, and you will have power to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So when you go to school, when you're hanging out with your friends, when you go to college, whatever it is you do in your days, you have power to tell other people about God and show them how much he loves them. So just remember that you have the power. You can be like a superhero because you've got real power from a real God to help you live a real life. Ooh, that's exciting, even for me. And I'm old. That's great. Let's stand together and sing some more songs as the team come and lead us. And I think maybe after our first song we're going to sing, which is I Will Worship, you younger members, you can head out with Penny and can learn more about this amazing power that you have. But we're going to sing 991, and then 1086, and then 755, if you need those song numbers.
We stand.
Man. say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Let's just prepare ourselves to hear God's word. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds ready to receive what you want to say to us today. Let us be tuned into your voice and to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, we are looking at God's extraordinary power. That's the theme for today, and part of the series that I have been reliably informed you've been working through. And last week in Acts 18, you were looking at something else. I thought I'd written it down, but it's not here. Oh, discipleship. Discipleship in Acts 18. And then next week, without wanting to give too much away, the theme of peace in Acts 20. But today, Acts 19, verses 1 to 20 in particular. And when I was reading these verses and preparing for this morning, it became very clear that there's kind of two parts to this message, to this passage. And so we're going to look at those two things separately, part one and part two. Because for me, part one speaks of the source of the power and how we receive the power that we're going to be speaking about. And then part two is speaking about how that power can be used. So it's how we receive the power and then how we use the power. And the first part is sort of Acts 19, 1 to 7. That's how we receive the power. And then 8 to 20 is some of that power actually being put to use. And right in the middle of all of these verses, pretty much bang in the middle, verse 11, we get the thrust of what today is about and the message that I want to bring. Because the New Living Translation said that God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. And I want to suggest right at the outset that God gives us the power. Like I was saying to the younger people, God has given that same power that he gave to Paul to each and every one of us who choose to believe in and choose to follow Jesus Christ. And we read about this in Acts, that we receive power. That reference is wrong, I apologize. That should be Acts 1:8, not 19:11. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So when we believe, when we encounter Jesus, and we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power to be his witness. Then in Philippians 2:13, that one is correct. Philippians 2:13, it says that God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And then in Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses, it says, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So God has placed this power in us to empower us to be his witnesses, to tell people about him, to show his love to those that are in need. But God's power also works within us to change us and transform us to become more like Jesus ourselves. Now, through this year, at the beginning of every year, I kind of ask God to give me a message, to give me a word, to give me a theme that I then sort of carry through the year myself. And this year, he's given me something that I've then had the privilege, and I believe God has opened up opportunities for me to travel and to talk to other churches about. And I'm not going to just, you know, cut and paste that into here. I'm speaking about Acts 19, but it does fit. Because the beginning of this year, 2022, God started to speak to me about this. And when I was praying, he basically said, get out. And I thought, well, that's a bit rude, isn't it? And then I started to kind of process and pray that a bit more. And what he was saying was that it's a year to be obedient to the things that he asks of you. And as we are obedient to God, we will see some of the unimaginable things that we're going to actually look at here in Acts 19. We will see the unimaginable as we fully trust God and his power at work within us. And the way we do that is it's about stepping out in faith, stepping out into the things that God calls us to do. It's about reaching out to people that are in need and need to experience something of God. And then it's about speaking out the truth of the gospel. It's a year to step out, reach out, and speak out. And in Acts 19, we see Paul and the disciples doing exactly this, being obedient to God. As they do, they see some unimaginable things, more than they can ask or think, as it says in Ephesians 3, because they fully trust in God's power and not in their own abilities. So, this power, part one, how do we receive this power? Well, the simple answer is that it's through a complete baptism in Jesus. Not a part baptism. At the beginning of Acts 19, the first few verses, that we see this account of Paul coming alongside these believers in Ephesus. He's arrived in the city of Ephesus, and he's come across these people that have accepted Jesus as their savior. They've been baptized in water, the baptism of John, as Paul calls it, and they've understood about the forgiveness of sin, about being cleansed and washed and made new, but that's it. They haven't had the complete baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul comes, Paul lays his hands on them, they receive the Holy Spirit, and then they start to experience life in its fullness that Jesus came to offer them. You see, for a number of weeks, months, years, we don't know how long, probably just weeks or months, they'd been missing out on living the fullest possible life because they weren't living with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I got to wondering, I wonder how many Christians go through their life like this, even now, today. How many of us believers know about Jesus? We've accepted Jesus. We've been forgiven by Jesus. But we're not living in the power of Jesus quite yet. We haven't necessarily fully grasped what that looks like and what that means. Are we like those believers in Ephesus? We're Christians. We've been adopted into the family of God. But we're not living with the complete power of God in our lives. You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3:10, he said this, that I want to know Christ, but I also want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. You may have known Christ, but have you experienced the mighty power that raised him from the dead? And like I said, this is all happening in this city of Ephesus. And Paul wrote to the church there later when he'd toddled off on his missionary journeys and carried on his travels. He wrote back to the believers. And in that letter, in chapter 5, there's a whole section about living by the Spirit's power. And that's what it's entitled. And he talks to them what it means now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And elsewhere in that letter, in Ephesians 3:19, he prays this for them. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, but then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. A complete relationship with God is the forgiveness of our sins for the past, but it's about living a new life today in the power of the Holy Spirit. So have we fully received all that God offers us? Have we fully received the Holy Spirit? Are we getting the full experience of what Jesus can offer us today? Because only then can we move on to part two of Acts 19. And part two is using the power, living in the power and using it. Remember I said God has been speaking to me about being out, being obedient, and it's my obedience that will lead to me seeing unimaginable things as I trust in his power. And as I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to be thinking about how you can be stepping out or reaching out, or speaking out in your own situations. Because it's then that we might get to experience some of these things ourselves, some of the unimaginable things that Ephesians 3:20 speaks about, things beyond what we ask or imagine, things beyond our wildest imaginations, one translation says. You see, God did it back in the time of Paul, and those early followers, he did it in Ephesus. God hasn't changed. God can do the same today. His power is the same. And we read in Acts 19 about the kind of things that were happening. You know, Paul merely had to touch a handkerchief or an apron, And then that can be taken and laid with somebody or placed on somebody, and they were being healed. Amazing things were happening. I remember we did that in our church quite a few years back now, but we literally, we tried that. We read that that's what happened in Scripture, and there was somebody in our congregation that was sick and couldn't come out. And so as a church, one Sunday morning, we prayed for a handkerchief. Well, we didn't pray for the handkerchief, you know what I mean? We prayed whilst holding it, and then we sent that to the person. And I genuinely can't remember the outcome of the story, but we thought, well, if that happened here, then we want to believe that that still can happen today. And so in faith, we did exactly that. We hear about people being healed in Acts 19, demons being expelled, the gospel being preached, people's lives being changed because they were encountering the power of God through these disciples, through the followers of Jesus. And I love the way that Acts 19 finishes, verse 20, when it says that the message about the Lord spread widely and it had a powerful effect. That's what happened when the power was being put to use. And what we see in Acts 19 is Paul doing these things that I spoke about at the beginning. Paul is known for his missionary journeys where he travels around. So Paul was literally stepping out into new areas. He was going to new towns, new places where God was leading him, and he was stepping out in faith and traveling to these areas. When he got to these places, he was reaching out to people, physically touching them, praying for healing, and seeing God do unimaginable things. And as we read about in Acts 19, he would go to the synagogue. He would preach the good news. He would go to the lecture halls of Tyrannus, which I thought sounded like a dinosaur myself. But he would go to the lecture hall of Tyrannus and speak there and debate with people. And it said that the message about the Lord was spreading quickly, and it was having a powerful effect. You see, I believe that God is looking for people that will follow that example, that will do just the same. And you know, Jesus himself, our ultimate example, the person whom we all, I hope, are trying to be a bit more like as we live our lives. Jesus stepped out into a public ministry when he was 30 years old. He stepped out from his home in Nazareth, being a carpenter, where he'd grown and matured and earned favor with God and with people. He stepped out into the public ministry. We know from the Gospels that Jesus had no problem with reaching out to those that needed to encounter God, getting alongside the lonely, the hurt, the outcasts that nobody else would touch, and physically touching them, and emotionally connecting with them, and spiritually speaking God's power into their lives. And Jesus spoke out about forgiveness of sin. He got in trouble for that. Ultimately, he got crucified for that. But he stepped out, he reached out, and he spoke out. Paul followed in his footsteps. And so now the challenge falls onto each and every one of us living here and now today. Will we follow those footsteps? Will we be people that are ready to step out, to reach out, to speak out, to be obedient when God speaks to us? Because then we see some of the unimaginable things that God might have in store as we trust in his power. But it has to be trusting in God's power, not in our own strength. Because we also read in this chapter of Acts 19, these verses here about this group, that the seven sons of Sceva who came and they tried to do these things. They tried to imitate what Paul and the disciples were doing, what Jesus had done, but they tried to do it in their own strength, and it didn't work. They got called out by it. They got beaten and chased out of the house, naked and battered, it says. And it reminds me of what we read in Zechariah 4:6, when God said to Zerubbabel that it is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. You know, we don't go out into our worlds, into our workplaces, our colleges, our neighborhoods, by ourselves to try and do these things. We do them with the power of God. We do them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing later that there is power in the name of Jesus. We can't hope to achieve healings. We can't hope to see miracles or signs or see people fall on their knees and confess their sins at the name of Jesus unless we allow the power of God to flow in us and through us and to trust in God's Spirit and not in our own strength or our own force. But when we do fully rely on this power at work in us, transformation can truly occur. Transformation can occur in us as well as in the world around us, in our communities and in our families. It changes us. It says in Ephesians 4, again, Paul was writing back to this group that we're reading about today, and he says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature to be created like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, God's power, God's extraordinary power, changes us so that we can then be agents of change in the world around us. There's a verse that God's speaking to me a lot about at the moment, and it's in Romans, I think it is. I can get the reference for you if you need to. But it's in Romans, and it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Romans 12, I think it is. And it's about letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because certainly for me, defenses go up. I pray that. I want that with all of my heart. But then the human nature side of me fights against that for some reason. It's the old spirit and my human nature battling away, as it talks about in Galatians. But let God transform you. Let God's power renew your thoughts and your attitudes so that you become a new person. We are changed so that we can then change others or introduce them to Jesus, who can change them. Romans 8:2 speaks about how we belong to him and the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The power of the Spirit is greater than any other power that may have a hold of us. And I stand here this morning and say, it doesn't feel like that sometimes. When we get drawn back into old habits, when old unhelpful thoughts plague our minds, and yet we have to believe that the Spirit of God that is in us is more powerful than any other spirit that may try and hold us back. And let's listen to his voice. Let's allow him to lead us and guide us. Let the Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. Because as we are transformed, as God's power transforms us, we can then be agents of transformation around us. And it's amazing to read how the end of this passage finishes. Acts 19, 17 to 20. This is the summary. It says that the story of what happened, it spread quickly through all of Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. And a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord was greatly honored. The name of the Lord was honored because of what people had seen happen. Many who became believers, they confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. And then this, so the message about the Lord spread widely and it had a powerful effect. Is that what we want for our area? Is that what we want for our communities? Is that what we want for our city? For our nation, that it is changed, that people see the power of God at work, the extraordinary power of God at work, and word about what he is doing begins to spread, and it has a powerful effect. See, we all have a part to play in that. Because like I said earlier with the graphics, we are all these people that have the power of God in us. The power to reach out to others. The power to be agents of change. Will we be prepared in the coming weeks, days even, months and years, to step out when God leads us, to reach out to those who need us, and to speak out the word of God? Just as Paul did in Ephesus, just as the rest of the disciples did as they traveled and as they spread and as the church was formed, just as countless men and women and boys and girls have done throughout the history of Christianity, it's our turn now to play our part. Will we be obedient? Then we see the unimaginable as we trust fully in God's extraordinary power at work in us and through us. Like I said, we're going to sing together our final song this morning. And it's a song that just declares that truth, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Let's sing this together. And as we do, let's just reflect on that fact that yes, there is power in the name of Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit that in us that gives us that same power to live, to act. And as Jesus once said, if you remember in John's gospel, that we will do the things that he has done and that we can actually even do greater things than he did. That's the power we're talking about this morning. Let's sing.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we believe in his name. Oh, we have called on the name of Jesus. We are saved. Thank you.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we have gathered together in your presence. Thank you that you are all powerful, that you created this world, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to live in this world. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to now live in this world ourselves. Thank you that the power of God, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in each and every one of us. And today, Father, I pray you'd help us to feel recharged with that power so that we can go forth from here serving you, declaring your truth, stepping out, reaching out and speaking out for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. And Father, I pray that your face would shine upon us so that we can then reflect that glory back to the world in which we live. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.